Thank you, everyone. I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from the island of Lewis in Scotland. It's very, very remote here, a little lump of rocks stuck out in the Atlantic, 37 miles from my nearest meeting. But to be here on Zoom is just fantastic. Thank you, Valerie, for asking me. And so, yeah, I said I'm an alcoholic, and that's the most important thing, is that today I know that I'm an alcoholic. I've been an alcoholic since my first drink, and that was very young. It was Christmas time at my grandmother's, and the first time I drank so much that I got drunk. I was sick, and I chased that feeling all my life to try and experience that feeling again, and I never found it. Until I came in here, I found it in here. I found that thing that I was searching for in the bottle. I found it in Alcoholics Anonymous. In Alcoholics Anonymous, in this program, they've done slowly for me what alcohol did for me quickly. And when Craig was reading the traditions there, what got me was to those now in its fold. You know, so anyone new or struggling or just coming back, or it's this fellowship to me, it's like a ship of fellows, and we're all just on the same boat, same problem, same solution. And this Alcoholics Anonymous has made the difference between misery and sobriety, and life and death, and that just speaks to me so much. There's a woman on this island, she's actually dead now, she died sober, but she used to say it's the difference between experiencing the abject misery of active alcoholism or the other choice is the exquisite joy of sobriety. And in my life, I've experienced both of them. And today, that's what I choose, is the exquisite joy. And for me, it's not the big things, it's just the little things. I say often when I awaken in the morning, and I've still got a pulse, I'm still in it, but it's like my birthday and my Christmas rolled into one. There's something like me, I just feel I really shouldn't be here on this earth. Alcohol takes me to the gates of insanity and death, and I was at that jumping off place that the big book talks about. And I'd done a little cries for help previous to that, but that time it was, I really meant it, and I just wanted to get off of this earth. I just had enough. I couldn't take it anymore. Alcohol wasn't doing for me what it used to. So the fact that I'm here is quite miraculous, really. And I count every single day. Every single day I wake up sober, I mark it in my little diary. And it's not about counting the days. It's about making each day count. Because Alcoholics Anonymous and this fellowship and new people have let me experience the gift of time. And I feel it's extra time. Every day that I'm alive and sober is just so special. So wonderful. So today I'm 4,159 days away from that living hell, and it's just so special and just so beautiful. And yeah, I mean, MD is in here. We don't come through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous singing and dancing. We come in here because we're beaten, and I was well and truly beaten. I was absolutely smashed. And the thing is that on my way down, when alcohol was taking away all the material things, and at the beginning I didn't really notice, and then it started to take things that I'd rather have kept and held on to, and things that I prized, and they all disappeared. And as time went on, I took my family hostage, my wife and children, and it was like I had them in a cage, kept them prisoner, and I had the key. And it wasn't until my drinking got so bad that the social department and the police were very interested in me, and if my wife hadn't left me, they would just to myself as a danger to others. So my wife and children had to leave me, and they left me by myself and in this big house. It was just as if they'd just left. Everything was there, the pictures, paintings, everything was on the wall, and they just bailed out. So I was there, a big dose of Pyrenees, and I just drank for oblivion. And after 2 days, I got to that point where I just couldn't take it anymore, and I tried to end my life. So when I came to the next morning, I'd been to hospital, and the police had taken me home, and I somehow had this little feeling that maybe alcohol might be something to do with this. It's the first time in my life I'd ever thought of it such a way. And I switched on the computer and I googled alcoholism, and the big book came up, and I started reading that book right from the very start, and I just got identification, and I knew I'd found the answer, that alcohol was my problem. It seems strange, but I could never associate it. So that was my Monday and my Thursday. I lived on an island and I had to go to the mainland to get to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And I went in the boat and I went through those doors of Alcoholics Anonymous for the very first time. And I met love, I met unconditional love. It was something that I didn't deserve. And I got a sense of belonging. I felt wanted and needed and loved. And most of all, they told me to keep coming back. And nobody judged me. And that was the first time in my life that I'd felt hope. I was brought up with a lot of fear. I was assigned religion, and both my parents were alcoholic, and there wasn't any love in our family. It was all about doing well and a lot of competition, and I just remember my parents fighting and arguing and hearing doors slamming and wondering whether my mother would be there the next morning. So I got to the age of 44 and I walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous with a rucksack of clothes and a pulse, because I'd lost everything. Everything that I ever had was gone. It was just me and myself. And I'd no more excuses. And it was in these rooms that I realised I heard people talking about the alcoholics drink alcohol to relieve their alcoholism. And although that sounded to me like the answer, that when somebody, or when my solution wasn't there, then my life was awful. It was absolutely awful. Because all the things that I'd done and said, and when I was drunk, the way I treated people, things I'd said, things I'd done, it was all there, it was all real, and I couldn't run anymore. And it was bad enough drinking, but stopping drinking was worse. And I had this big guy that took me under his wing, and I really hated him. I realise now I just didn't like him because he told me the truth. And he said, your ego is going to kill you. He says you need to stick all your ego in a bubble and burst it, or it's going to kill you. And he said other things like, if you're as smart as you think you are, what are you doing here? And there's not really an answer to things like that, is there? And another absolutely incredible thing, I call these people my angels. My angels with two capital A's. And my other angel was a little woman called Val, who ran that meeting, who opened up and put the chairs out and made the teas and coffees. So when she asked me where I was going to stay, and I said I was going to have to stay in the homeless place, and she said, you'll never get sober there. And she said, come and stay with me. And this woman took me into her house, and she got me eating and got me a little job and chased me out the door to meetings, and she saved my life, really. I don't think I'd be sat here without her. And I was very, very wary about why these people would do these things to me, somebody who had nothing, and absolutely nothing to give in return. But I realise today it's people that have been in that place that recognised in me what they were like themselves one time. And for me, it was like standing at the bottom of a mountain looking up, knowing that the answer was at the top, but not knowing how to reach it. And when I was drinking and I saw people worse off than me, I would laugh at their situation and say, ha-ha, look at them. How did they get there? But these people that sat on the top of this mountain, they saw me and they came down and they took me by the hand and they showed me the way. Chuck Chamberlain says, for fun and for free, sobriety is a gift, and that's what I've been given as this gift. Absolutely incredible to be in that position and to recognise today the difference between that living hell and this place where I am today. And there's a bit in the big book talks about this spiritual awakening. I'm not an academic and I'm not a fancy person in any way, but they say this is a simple program. It doesn't say it's easy, it just says it's simple. And one of the first things I had to do in here was buy a dictionary because I didn't understand even simple words. But to understand this spiritual experience, it says the personality change is sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. And then that first step, it talks about alcohol. And it talks, the only time it mentions alcohol. Another thing I didn't see was we. It doesn't talk about me. It talks about we. That's a we thing. And admission. Admission to me is something like to get into a museum or a circus. Something where I pay money to pay my entrance into something. And when I think of my admission to get into Alcoholics Anonymous, was everything that I ever had in my life. The alcohol took everything, left me just with that pulse. I'm very grateful for that pulse today. And just over the page from that, it talks about we find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable. And for me, my sobriety date is my foundation. And then from there, on top of my foundation, I've started to lay the cornerstones to start building a structure, a solid structure, something that's going to stand and last. And that's what I built my cornerstones out of. It's the honesty and open-mindedness and willingness and the humility and open-mindedness kind of go together, but they're slightly different. I think the humility for me is not about bowing to people or being subservient. Humility is the ability to remain teachable, and that's what I had to do. Is it all my life? And the reason that I get into Alcoholics Anonymous was self-will, running on self-will. And my best thinking kept getting me drunk. So this program for me wasn't so much about learning. It was more about unlearning. It was about unlearning everything that I thought I knew and starting at the very beginning. So that's what I did in this program. It's just been absolutely incredible for me. It's like I say, I came in here with a rucksack of clothes and a pulse, and today I've got that life beyond the wildest dreams. And the thing I didn't realise is that in order for my dreams to come true, I've got to have that dream. And I was always frightened of having dreams, because I thought, even when my life was going well, I was thinking, this can't last. Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. But in sobriety, it's happened. Time, people watch from the outskirts. I didn't necessarily see my progress. I didn't necessarily see my recovery. But it was people looking from the outside, looking in, that saw it. And my life started to get better. And I started to heal. And those ripples of alcoholism had been replaced by the ripples of sobriety. And that damage that I caused started to be healed through this program. Thank you. And these defects of character, which sounds quite a harsh word, but I prefer to look at it as things I do that I shouldn't do, things I don't do that I should do. And by addressing them and trying to change, this whole thing is a program of change, it's a program of action. And I came in here for my drinking, but I realised today it's my thinking. That's my thoughts. My thoughts produce choices. Those choices require decisions. And those decisions require action. And those actions, they're finished off by consequences. And in all my life, I'd had to pay the consequences of my alcoholism. And today, I spend a lot of time in my spiritual garden. And although I plant lots of good seeds, there's lots of weeds come up too. And it's been able to recognise the weeds and to pluck them out and to let the good things grow. And it sounds dead easy, but it's not really. It takes a lot of work, a lot of honesty, a lot of hard work, a lot of soul searching. If I put in the work, and I get the results. So that's where I've got to today, is that we got offered this little farm here in the middle of nowhere. If you imagine that person that started off that journey 4,159 days ago, but today has got this little farm, and we lived in an old bus for 7 winters, my wife and children and I, and no electricity. We had to pump our own water from solar panels, and it was tough. We dreamed and dreamed of having this little farm. And we dreamed of having a house. And today, I'm sat in this house. It's unbelievable. I never ever thought this life would happen to me. But it has. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's to do with me finding a power greater than me. And trusting in this power greater than me, and letting this process happen. In step 12, it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, it's non-negotiable, and to practice these principles in all my affairs. And that's what I do to the best of my ability. And that mess that I was running from, that was the reason why I drank, is today turned into a message of hope for people sat at the bottom of that mountain. So I hope this, what I said, has touched somebody and maybe helped somebody. And thank you for my life.